As you are aware, if you've been here for a while, we know that we've been studying in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, which is one sentence in our Bible, 80 words. The 80 words, 80 is a number that points to strength. It points to the strength of God in these chapters. We all need that in these verses. We all need the strength of God in our life, or we ain't going to go very far. And we're going to have to trust him, like David said, by faith. Well, Apostle Paul wrote by faith more than anybody, and that's how we live our life, by faith. That's how we're to live our Christian life. And the Apostle Paul did that. And in Hebrews 12:2, he told us where our focus should be, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our what? Faith, huh? Yeah, he's the author and finisher of faith. The R is in italics, meaning it was interpolated. But he is the author and finisher of our faith if we believe him. Then it says, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. What's he doing there at the right hand of the throne of God? Well, he's waiting for a bride, that's true. If you go to Romans 8:34, it says this: who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And we pray, when we pray in Jesus' name, what's he doing? He's making intercession to us, to the Father. Father, Scott just made a request. Father, Carolyn just made this request. Hagen just made this request. You know, whoever. So that's, he's making intercession for us. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. Yeah, all of us, yeah. And so, if you go, you're there in Romans 8. 26, likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, help us with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever bust out speaking in tongues and saying, well, I know I feel better about things, but I wish I'd known what I was talking about. Well, he comes in and helps us with these things. Gives us the words that need to be said and gives us the peace and comfort in our heart. Yeah. I mean, the God of peace is the Holy Ghost, you know. Okay. Now, we haven't got into my notes yet. But the thought we were exploring and are exploring is the fact that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. Where did Paul first hear this concept? It was from Stephen. He was there. Paul was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. And that took us to the seventh chapter of Acts, where Stephen was before the Sanhedrin Council. This very same Jewish Sanhedrin Council that Jesus was brought before. And this, and we'll read about this today, the same Jewish Sanhedrin Council that the apostles Peter and John and all of them were brought before twice. Now, in Acts 7, Stephen is brought before them. And just real quick, we'll get to this later, But in Acts 7, 55 and 56, we find that Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing where? On the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Twice we find this here. It's sufficient testimony what he saw. They looked up and they didn't see anything. Thought he was a... But they knew he'd seen something. He was under the influence and the power of the Holy Ghost, wasn't he? Now last week we talked about the membership of the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, how it was composed of somewhere between 70 and 72 leaders, so-called, of the Jews, scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees. And Jesus had some words to say about them, which we read last week, which you can go back and read on your own in Matthew 22 and in Matthew 23. And we didn't finish all of our thoughts concerning the scribes and Pharisees last week. And the Sadducees, if you remember, if you go to Acts 23:8, I think it is, it tells what they believe. We'll go there for a second since I brought it up. Acts 23:8. Well, I'll read 7, because this was when Paul was brought before the Sanhedrin Council. And when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were both of the same group, the Sanhedrin Council. And the multitude was divided in the Sanhedrin there. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in angels. They don't believe in spirits. But the Pharisees confess both. So now, let me go change directions here for a second, and this will all tie together here in a few minutes. Think of all the scribes and Pharisees found in Scripture and the Sanhedrin Council and those in that council who closely followed the law. That would be the Pharisee part of it. But you won't find one example of this council, as it's called in Scripture, where they manifest the love of God. If you can find that, let me know where you found it. There was no love of God manifest in these believers of the law, these legalists, if you will. There was only murder and hate in their zealous hearts. And Jesus, last week we read this, he told the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, 34 and 35. Why don't you turn there for a second or a minute. Matthew 23, you can read that whole chapter again. We did that last week. He's talking to the scribes and Pharisees. He pronounced 7 woes to them in that chapter. Matthew 23, 34. Wherefore, Jesus said, "Behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." Who does that sound like? Yeah, solid Tertius. "That upon you may come all the righteous blood that is shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, A to Z, all these prophets, whom you slew between the temple and the altar." Now, the greatest prophet that these same scribes and Pharisees soon thereafter killed after Jesus spoke these words in Matthew 23 was Jesus himself. And in Acts 7, go back there. We're going to flip back and forth. We'll spend a lot of time in Acts 7 today. In Acts 7, it's 51, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, said to this Sanhedrin council, after respectfully addressing them in verses 1 through 50, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." Now, these were Holy Ghost-inspired words that he was speaking. "Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One," that's a reference to Jesus, "of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." So we find that murder was in their hearts, not the love of God, not the grace of God, not the mercy of God. We're getting some good music. I don't know if it's coming from over there, if it's coming from downstairs in the new music room, but I guess we can listen to it for a while. Now, think of all the legalists out there in the world today, and you'll notice one thing in their life: the lack of God's love manifest in their lives. And that's just the way it is. 1 John 4:8 and 1 John 4:10 and 1 John 4:16 explain a little bit about the love of God. 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In verse 10, 1 John 4:10, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And then in verse 16 of 1 John 4, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Now, I want to go back to Acts 3 through 5. Recall in Acts 2 that on the day of Pentecost, the gift of the Holy Ghost was given, and they all spake in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they spoke in the different languages of those that were in attendance there, if you'll read that chapter. And Peter, of all people, Peter, preached a sermon inspired by the Holy Ghost. And if you'll look in that chapter, I think there was like 3,000 souls added in verse 41 of Acts 2. In Acts 3, Peter and John, they go to the temple there in Jerusalem. And a lame man was healed by the faith of Peter and John. In Acts 3:6, as Peter looked on this man, and he looked on them, and he was expecting to receive something of them, but not what he wanted, silver or gold. He got a lot more than that. They didn't get silver and gold, though. What did they get? Verse 6, "Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, yeah, how thankful would you be if you hadn't ever walked? And you are now leaping and running, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, you know, in that case. Well, this inspired another impromptu, Holy Ghost-inspired sermon, Peter's second, as far as we know, second sermon recorded in Scripture. It was spoken there in the steps of the temple in Jerusalem. And you drop down to verse 13, and here's part of what Peter had to say, inspired of the Holy Ghost. Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he, Pilate, was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer be granted unto you. And killed you killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Those words didn't go over good with the Sadducees, did they? No. Whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong. In the words of David this morning, by faith this man was healed. Whom ye see and know. This guy was there begging at the temple for years, decades, and they knew who he was. Now they see him standing there with him. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot, that word means I know, that through ignorance ye did it. You had Jesus crucified, as did also your rulers, the Sanhedrin Council. But those things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Drop down to verse 25. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Now, the Sanhedrin Council, this group of guys we've been talking about, they were not at all pleased with the action of the apostles, Peter and John especially. And we read this starting in Acts 4:1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon him, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That was upsetting to them, because the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so in verse 3, they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide or evening. Now, verse 4 tells the results of Peter's preaching there of that Holy Ghost-inspired impromptu sermon. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. You think they got their attention? 5,000 getting saved at once? Wow, that's quite a sermon. Peter? Whew. Amazing what can happen when you get full of the Holy Ghost, huh? So we find that the Sanhedrin Council could not and did not stop the mighty working power of the Holy Ghost, nor could they. It wasn't going to happen. And so there was added about 5,000 souls to the kingdom of heaven that day. In Acts 4:5, it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow," the next day in other words, "that their rulers and elders and scribes, the Sanhedrin council, and Annas the high priest, and Cephas, and John, and Alexander, and as many were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked," as if they didn't know, "by what power or by what name have ye done this?" Peter, again in verse 8, says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This Jesus is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, before we read any further, make note that the reason salvation in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth was rejected by these Sanhedrin rulers was because they didn't believe that he was the Messiah, their Savior. They were looking to their following the works of the law of Moses for their salvation. They didn't understand the love of God. They didn't understand the grace of God, nor did they believe about the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. So we read on there in Acts 4:13. And imagine they were just probably gritting their teeth as they heard all these words. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men," they lacked the kind of education that they themselves had, "they marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it." What can we do? I mean, he's here. He's standing here. Something happened to him, right? Okay. "So when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred amongst themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people," here's an idea, "let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And then they called them back, Peter and the apostles, John, and commanded them, commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Okay, well, let's see how that went over. Verse 19. "But Peter and John answered and said unto them," just a second, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Now, in Acts 5, if you go over there, you'll read how the words the word of the Lord greatly increased there at Jerusalem, right under the nose of the Sanhedrin Council. And in Acts 5:12, we'll read here through about verse 16, we find this. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter, passing by, might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Do you think the word of the Lord spread because of the apostles? Of course it did. How did they hear about all this? Now, we find how this went over with the Sanhedrin Council starting in verse 17. Again, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. And they, the Sanhedrin Council again, laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. This is kind of funny if you really think about it. Verse 19. But the angel of the Lord, who they didn't believe in, the Sadducees, the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they, that is the apostles, heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, they didn't know this was going on, the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. They disappeared. We can't explain it. They were there. We put them there. We put a guard there. They're not there. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council. They set the apostles again before the council, the Sanhedrin council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, isn't that a stupid statement? His blood was already upon him. You know? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Now, this Jewish Sanhedrin council had Jesus crucified, and now here in Acts 5, they wished to kill the apostles, but they were persuaded by a master Pharisee named Gamaliel not to do so. And you can read there in Acts 5 his words, but let's start in Acts 5:38. And Gamaliel speaking, he says, "And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council, this Sanhedrin council, or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply or perchance ye be found even to fight against God." And to him they agreed. They respected Gamaliel. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. That didn't stop anything, did it? Verse 41, "And they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." That's what the Holy Ghost did for them. Now, we'll get into this a little bit. Comes the events of Acts chapter 6, where the word of God increased even more. And the disciples were multiplied. And we find that the seven full of the Holy Ghost were chosen to help in this increasing ministry. Note what is stated in Acts 6:7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." They were starting to get to the edge of the Sanhedrin council. They were robbing them of future members here when they started to believe what the apostles were teaching. And so how do you think the Sanhedrin council reacted to a great company of priests becoming believers? The apostles already didn't set well with them. And the fact that they were getting more and more followers all the time to believe in Jesus. This didn't set well with them. And so we start and continue to read the events there in Acts 6, starting in verse 8. "And Stephen," note this, "full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Now, we'll find next time, I think, how Stephen was brought before this Jewish Sanhedrin council because of his high profile of being full of faith and power and doing great wonders and miracles among the people. In Acts 6:9, we read this, "And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and Cyrenians and Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." He was full of the Holy Ghost. "Then they suborned men, which means they hired somebody, people, who had said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him and caught him. Imagine that was real hard to do, huh? I doubt it. He's standing there talking. And he brought him to the council. And then the council, these guys set up false witnesses who had said, "This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place, this holy place and the law." Now, he didn't do that. We know that. Verse 14, this is also another lie. "For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the custom which Moses delivered us." That was twisting Jesus' words. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face, the face of Stephen, as it had been the face of an angel." And we talked about this a few weeks ago. So Stephen was basically arrested by the same Sanhedrin council that Jesus was brought before. We'll talk some more about this next time, Lord willing.